Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Chef Stuardo, and welcome to Foodomania. This beautiful Saturday, beautiful day approaching Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people today are off for a couple of days. Some people took yesterday off, so they got a four-day weekend. So hopefully today's show will inspire you to maybe try something special. Now, on our listing, we were going to re-air last week's show, the Pan-Asian Feast. We had some technical difficulties. But what ended up happening is we rebroadcast it on Sunday at 9 o'clock, and then it was archived. So if you didn't miss that show, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio site. Just type in Foodomania, and you'll be able to pick up the show from last Sunday if you missed the Pan-Asian Feast. It was a really good one. Well, today is really exciting. What we're going to do today is we're going to go to sunny Sicily, and for the next 28 and a half minutes, I'm going to be talking to you about Sicily and the food from Sicily and how to do something that would really be special, especially now that the weather's getting really nice. It makes me think about being outside, about eating, dining al fresco and sitting outside and doing some really nice things, you know, under the sunshine, under the umbrella of sunshine or the umbrella protecting you from the sunshine. You know, a little bit about Sicily. Most people, when they think of Italian food, and initially, you know, they think of the regular food, I think of pizza, pasta, et cetera. But so many things have actually started in Sicily, in that region. It's the largest, most important island, literally, in the Mediterranean. And until the 14th century, Sicily was the most important island in Europe. And though the Mediterranean is usually considered like, you know, a single body of water, Sicily's shores are washed by two smaller seas, the Ionian and the Tyrrhenian. And flanked south by what is sometimes called the Sicilian Channel, and its best-known islands are like Lampedusa or Pantelleria. And if you've never been there, I have to tell you, Pantelleria is like famous. The most famous thing from there is capers, and we'll talk about capers today a little bit. And then, of course, Malta. Sicily is covered with lots of mountains. It's very hilly. And lots of some level coastal areas and beaches, really beautiful. And, of course, Europe's largest active volcano, which is Mount Etna, which every now and then just jumps out. Basically, in Sicily, you know, cultures merge over thousands of years, and that's a lot of where the menu and the diet comes from. There's some really, really, you know, incredible backgrounds that really make what Sicily is. I mean, some people believe that Sicily once was attached to Africa and was really actually part of mainland Sicily. And we're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. And the most, you know, southern point of Sicily, Aspica, is like probably, it's literally a few hours from the African coast, you know. That's basically what it seems like. At some point in time, it must have been attached. That said, if you believe in those kind of things, all the ideas and the philosophies of being hungry and food have merged. People have done different things in Sicily as far as wild game. There's one thing I remember. There's a Sicilian deer. It's called the Sardinian deer, and it's one of the most amazing creatures in the world, and they feel it's long extinct, and basically it's something that, you know, it's almost like Bigfoot in the Northwest. People say that they still see it. There's still a few wildcats, and they thrive in like the national park at the base of Mount Etna, and people write incredible stories about that, and they live in like the rugged slopes and the wooded areas, and it's just like amazing. And there's also a rare sort of beaver or squirrel. It's basically like a little teeny chipmunk, and that's also another little teeny animal that people originally, trademarked back to Sicily. Even big birds are kind of rare. You know, you very rarely are going to see an eagle or a falcon over there, but there are lots of quail and grouse and partridge, and that's basically some of the things that they will use in an incredible meal. Well, today I wanted to talk to you about specific foods and what we're talking about today, just the deliciousness of so many different foods, and there's so many choices. One of the things that I think about most often, with Sicilian food, is more of a Mediterranean-based food, and lots of Sicilian food has a little bit more air in it. And what I mean by that is sometimes traditional, some Americanized Italian food gets a little thick. The tomato sauce gets a little thick. Everything is a little bit heavier. But in Sicily, it has a lot more air. For instance, let's talk about one really great salad. There's a salad called caponata, and it's just a delicious salad. It's made with eggplant, which are arbogines, or olives and capers and celery. And it's just a really simple, light salad. You take the eggplant, you gently, what I do is I bake it, not too much, and then I, of course, peel it first, and I cut it into cubes, and then I add it with just a variety of different olives, make sure you take the pits out, and some really nice capers, and then just little small pieces of celery and shrink it up. I put a little bit of olive oil in there, and it's really, really delicious. In a lot of cases, you'll see a caponata on a table, like if you go to a Sicilian restaurant, they'll just serve that as an appetizer with some fresh olive oil, vergine, of course, and some really fresh, nice bread, and a little caponata. You just take a little bit of that and put it on your little bit bread and munch away at that. Then it's really, really delicious. There's another thing that's called panela, and it's like a sort of a thin paste, and that's P-A-N-E-L-L-A. It's like a thin paste, and it's made with like a powdered sort of garbanzo bean, and it's sort of fried. And it's delicious. It's like a fried garbanzo bean. Really, really delicious. And that's also sometimes as a side. Sometimes you're going to get just a little teeny soup. And right now we're just sort of talking an appetizer. It's kind of a creamy soup. It's called maku. And it's delicious. And it's just a little light bean soup. Very thin. But what they do is they make a little croce or a croquet. And it's a little fried potato dumpling. And in the dumpling, we have a little cheese and parsley and egg. Let me tell you how to make that right now. You take some potato and you mash it up really, really well. And I'm talking about raw. And then you take it and you boil the shreds literally for like almost like you're cooking pasta for about 3 or 4 minutes. So not too long because it'll cook very fast. Then drain it really, really well. Okay, then mix it up and add some pecorino, about a third of a cup, some fresh chopped parsley, and 1.5 egg yolks to it. And then basically you take it and you mix it up really, really well and make little balls out of it, a little olive oil in the pan, and fry these little balls. They're delicious. It's a little croquet. A lot of times when we're talking about balls, one of the other things I think of in Sicilian food is an arancini. And it's a really wonderful sort of ball. And you can use that mixture I just told you about. But what I like to do is take your leftover rice, and you can use arborio rice if you have the Sicilian rice, or just regular rice. Take it even the next day, add some butter and Parmesan to it, put some fresh peas in it. Then what I like to do is I like to take a little bit of salt and pepper and then a little bit of olive oil and make sort of a mixture. Now what I do is I take and make a ball about the size of a softball. Well, maybe a little bit smaller, somewhere between a hard ball and a softball. And then what I do is I take my finger, clean, of course, and I stick it in one side to sort of hollow out the center to make a little tunnel to the center. Then on the side, I'll take a little bit of ground meat, or you can, if you're a vegetarian, I'll tell you about that in a minute, but I take a little bit of ground beef. Sometimes if I have a little pork that I've been stewing in some red sauce, I'll take that out, drain it, and chop it up really well. And I'll take that meat and I'll put it into the hole of the ball that we just made, okay? If you're a vegetarian, there's a couple of different things that work good. Again, you can put some bean in it. You can put some a little bit of eggplant, if you like, a little diced up mushroom works really well. Just lightly saute it. And then put it in, and you're going to get a cavity of about the size of a small, I would say a Tootsie Pop on the center, filled with whatever mixture you decided. And then go ahead and fill in the rest of the hole with the rest of the rice. Now take this ball carefully, and what you're going to do is lay out 3 plates. One plate is going to have a little bit of flour. Second plate is going to have a little bit of egg wash, which would be an egg with a little bit of water. And the third plate is going to be some breadcrumbs. I like to use a combination of Italian breadcrumbs, which would be a regular breadcrumb with a little seasoning in it, and then I would also add a little bit of panko, which is an Asian breadcrumb, and I love that combination. Now, I'll take the ball, roll it in the flour, then roll it in the egg, and then roll it in the breadcrumbs to get it completely covered to the top. And what you're going to do is take a baking pan, set your oven to 350, and you're going to go ahead and put your balls, a little bit of olive oil in the bottom of the pan, and take the rice ball and stick it in on the pan, and then you're going to go ahead and gently, what I like to do, I love this, I take a little bit of lemon juice and a little bit of olive oil and a teaspoon, I take about a teaspoonful of that mixture, and I drip it right over the top. I just literally take the spoon and drop it over the top. It'll sort of float over the sides of the arancini, and then go ahead and put it in the oven at 350 for about 15 to 20 minutes or until that crust gets a little bit hard. Remember, the inside is already cooked. Sometimes you can go about 20 minutes at 350. Then pull those balls out. Oh, my gosh. If you have a little bit of red sauce, what I like to do, put it on a plate. Sometimes you just press it down a little bit so it doesn't roll off the plate. Then I would take a small ladle of really light, fresh tomato sauce, a little bit of crushed garlic, a little bit of maybe a couple of capers over the top, and of course a little pecorino, a little Parmesan cheese over the top, and you'll have an incredible appetizer. That's called an arancini. Listen, before we go any further, let me tell you how to get these recipes, because you're probably not going to be able to write as fast as I'm talking. Three ways to do it. One way, you can go back to blogtalkradio.com and go under Foodomania, and you can listen to this broadcast again at your own pace. You can stop it and start it and be able to write it down. That's a pain in the neck. So what I'd like you to do is write me at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And just say, why don't you just write Sicily in there, and I will send you some of the recipes that we're talking about today. Obviously, I have so much to talk about, we're not going to have enough time to cover it all, but I'm going to give you at least the taste and the fun of it. Now, remember that email address, so if you want it. Now, as we go down, we're talking about those little appetizers. Another one that I really liked, and we'll go to a main course in a second, is funghi al rosto. And what I like to do is I like to get a portobello mushroom, and then I would like to get a really nice yellow and a nice red pepper, okay? What I do with the peppers, first of all, I leave them whole. I rub the outside of the pepper with olive oil. I put them on a sheet pan, and I stick them in the oven for about 20 minutes until they start getting a little, color, and you'll see that the skin will wrinkle. A fast way to do it, but you got to really be aware of this, is you can also put them under the broiler, covered in olive oil, for a few minutes aside, and they'll cook really quick that way, and then you pull them out. The third way is if you happen to have a gas stove, what I like to do is turn a burner on a little bit low, take your pepper, and you can put it right over the burner and cook it that way. As the skin gets a little dark and black, don't overburn it. You'll know eventually it's done. While you're doing that, get a big bowl, metal bowl, and fill it with ice water, okay? Then when your peppers are done, just plunge them into the ice water and let them sit there for a couple of minutes. What will happen is they'll cool off a little. You'll be able to literally pull off the skin immediately in the water, do everything in the water, break the pepper open, scrape out the seeds, you got your water to rinse them off, and take them, give them a little bit of shake, and lay them on a little bit of a nice little platter. And once you get them all done, make sure they're dry. Pat them dry if you have to. Take a little bit of virgin olive oil and just sprinkle it over the top, and a little bit of sea salt. Let them sit for a couple of minutes. Mm-mm. Now, your portobello mushroom, what we're going to do is this. What I like to do is I take the whole mushroom, take the stem out. I take a little teeny bit of balsamic vinegar in the inside of the mushroom. That would be the bottom. A little bit of olive oil. I rub in salt and pepper, and you can go ahead and grill them if you want to. And that's a good way to do it, but here's a better way. You have it in the oven pan, like a frying pan, it's all metal, that can go in the frying pan. Do the same thing with the balsamic vinegar, a little bit of olive oil, and rub them with salt. Stick them in a little bit of a little bit of olive oil again, and put them in the pan and stick them under the broiler. Watch them carefully, give them about 5 minutes aside, roast them really well, and then what I do, let them cool and slice them the long way, not cut them up, you know, in like, you know, left to right. You want to take the whole thing as a circle, get your knife under it and give it a nice slice so you can turn each portobello into about two or three thin slices. Once that's done, feather it with the peppers. So you'll have the eggplant, a little bit of the pepper, another piece of eggplant, a little bit of pepper, like that. Now, some people really like to take a little bit of fresh chiffonade basil, which is sliced very thin, and put that over the top, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little Parmesan cheese, and you have a delicious fungarosto roasted pepper appetizer. This will be those three little things that I just told you about, the caponata, the fungarosto, for sure the croce, you know, croquet, the fried potato, and the arancini will be a really fantastic, delicious, wonderful appetizer. Now, for the main course, we're getting close on time here, so let's talk about the main course. In Sicily, there's certain things that come from there. They're very, very traditionally known for lamb and goat, basically, in Sicily. They also, the whole Marsala concept came from that. And there's basically using a simple veal, if you believe in veal, different cooks do and different cooks don't. I personally don't use and don't cook veal anymore, and I will get into why I don't down the line. So what I use sometimes is a really nice, very tender pork cutlet instead, or you can use a chicken cutlet, and we can make a really, really simple marsala, and this is a beautiful dish. So what you do is you take your cutlet, and you're going to pound it, and I would say about 4 ounces per cutlet. You're going to pound it, not paper thin, but a little bit, you know, sort of thin, not till it's falling apart, but give it a little tenderness. Stick that on a plate, cover it with a little virgin olive oil and salt, and let it sit in the fridge for about 2 or 3 hours, okay? Then what we're going to do is very, very simple. We're going to get a plate with some flour. We're going to get a half of a stick of butter. We're going to get 1/3 of a cup of Marsala wine. We're going to get a little bit of fresh pulverized minced garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper. And then here's what we're going to do. Pardon me. We're going to take our chicken cutlets or our pork cutlets. We're going to dip them in a little bit of flour. And then we're going to take our pan and we're going to add a little bit of olive oil and a little teeny bit of chicken broth. Now, when I say this, make sure that you stand away from the pan initially, because when you're adding a liquid to the olive oil, it's going to crackle and bubble, and you don't want to get splattered. It takes a split second to get something right in your eye. So very carefully, start off with the olive oil, and go ahead. And when I say olive oil, it's very light, because lots of times when you fry anything in olive oil, it's not a good idea. It gets too oily, too thick. So a little teeny bit, just to make sure it doesn't stick, and lightly put your flour cutlets in the pan, okay? Now, once they get a little bit golden on each side, you don't want to overcook it, go ahead and turn them over. And then you have both sides done. Now, at this point in time, take a half of a cup of chicken broth and stick it in your pan. What that's going to do a little bit is going to sort of deglaze the pan. It's going to take a little bit of flour and a little nice pieces of, you know, of pork or veal or chicken that you're doing off the pan. And at the same time, take your half a cup of Marsala wine and the cutlets. Just take a little fork or a little spatula and get under the cutlet a little bit gently and just break them loose so they're not sticking to the pan and give it a shake. That little bit of chicken broth in that Marsala is going to go beautifully. At this point in time, literally take your half stick of butter and stick it in there and your garlic. And what's going to happen is you're going to get a little bit of the flour off the cutlet, and with the broth and the Marsala and the butter, you're going to turn it into this beautiful, creamy Marsala sauce. Some people like to put a little bit of white pepper in it. You can do that for taste. And all of a sudden, within about 4 or 5 minutes, everything is reduced. Your sauce should thicken, and you have a beautiful Marsala cutlet. And again, you can use anything. You can use chicken. You can use pork. You can use veal. And for vegetarians, another way to do it is use a portobello mushroom. Do the same thing. Don't pound it because it'll pulverize. Slice it really thin to make portobello cutlets. Marsala, delicious. Serve it with a little bit of arborio rice, or serve it with a little bit of shells of pasta, just lightly a little fresh parsley. You don't need to make a sauce for the pasta because you'll have that Marsala sauce right over the top. Another thing you could do is roast some little potatoes and do it that way. So you got a beautiful vitello alla Marsala, if it was or a chicken Marsala, or, you know, pollo Marsala, it'll be delicious. And that's something you can also do for a nice lunch. And at this point in time, you're probably getting a little, your stomach's probably getting a little bit of excited. You're probably eating a whole bunch of stuff. There's certain literally key words in a lot of cases. Like arancini is the delicious rice ball. Anything that you're going to serve before the main course would be called an antipasto. And make sure you do that. Arrosto is to roast. You can roast anything that you're roasting. It's an arrosto. So in other words, if it's mushroom, it would be fungi arrosto. If it was lamb, it would be lamb arrosto. Poro arrosto, roast chicken. All these different things. If you're going to do a steak, they call it bisteca is the word. Anything that's a little teeny ball, for instance, sometimes you have seen little mozzarella balls or a little bit of vegetable balls or things like that. Any small little ball is called a bocconcini, B-O-C-C-O-N-C-I-N-I. It's anything that's formed into small pieces. A bruschetta comes from Sicily also. That's your slice of bread gently toasted with a little bit of olive oil and put a little fresh capers and chopped tomato on or a little bit of cheese, a little bit of anchovy, a little bit of just sliced onion and olive and different herbs, and you have a beautiful little appetizer. It's unbelievable, the combination. All right, before we finish this, we got to talk about a dessert. And I think the most popular Sicilian dessert that I know of, and one of the most famous desserts, is a cannoli. And a cannoli is absolutely one of heaven in your hands. What I could say. Basically, it's a tubular crust, and it's filled with a creamy sort of ricotta and sugar a little bit. Sometimes you use diced fruit, dry fruit, or sometimes you use a little chocolate chip. Now, there's several different ways to make a cannoli shell. It's a little tricky, but you can do that. Another way to do it is just to simply go out and buy the pre-made shells, which you can actually do right now as well. What I'll do is, because it'll take a little bit of time, I would like you to write me, again, at CHEF is in Frank, S is in Sam, TUARTO at hotmail.com and put the word cannoli in it, and I'll send you the perfect recipe for the shells and the filling. If you come up with a good cannoli, you'd be able to use that cannoli in doing the best friendship business deal. You'll be able to propose to your fiance. You'll probably be able to get a lot of money off on the next car you buy. I'm not kidding. A good cannoli is worth incredible. Another famous dessert also is a cassata. It's like a sugary cake filled with some delicious filling. It could be anything. It could be basically like a very light sort of ricotta pound cake, like sort of sugary crusty on the outside, but you always fill it with some sort of a cream, some sort of a chocolate mousse or something like that. And so in the Sicilian recipe feast page, I will be sending you a recipe for cannoli and for cassata as well. Now, lots of times you'll also, in Sicily, well, all over Italy, but you'll find a beautiful sorbet or gelato, which is basically ice cream. It's pretty much about the softest, creamiest ice cream. In fact, most of the time when you go and order gelato, instead of using an ice cream scoop, they literally use a spatula because it's such a creamy, pasty sort of texture. And lots of times you can get several flavors literally stacked up. So you'll go get a little cup and they'll take the spatula and they'll get a little bit of my favorite Sicilian gelato is chestnut. A chestnut with a little bit of vanilla or a fresh strawberry or something. Hazelnut and pistachio, really, really big deal. And then sometimes you'll get a fragola, like a strawberry. Oh, delicious. And zuppa inglese is sort of a rum raisin sort of thing. It's incredible. There's so many different things. Now, also granita, which is more like a sorbet, is also offered a lot. You can make a very simple crushed granita ice sorbet, especially in the summer. You can use fresh lemons or strawberries. Lemon is one of the most favorite, flavors over there. All right, I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you've had a good time traveling around Sicily and talking about food. And believe me, I love it. I can talk about the Sicilian food for days. I'm hoping I've given you some ideas. Now, since a lot of you out there have a couple of days off, please don't hesitate to write me today, and I'll forward you back the recipes immediately. You might want to try something like this over the weekend. It's best these Sicilian feasts are really best done for about 6 to 8 people, I think, is the ingredients and the amount of people that you can really handle to pull this off and make it really, really special. A couple of things I wanted to tell you. Next week's show will be very, very special. I will be having as my special guest Mr. Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, in a pre-recorded segment that we did together. And we'll be talking about home gardens. We'll be talking about the gardens that you have at your house right now. And if you don't have one, I'll be talking about, again, how to build a small little cottage garden, just like I did in the first show of Foodomania, which is to basically set up a little window box so you can start experimenting and growing some of your own vegetables. Remember also to go to www.1020radio.net, which is a wonderful site. That's my internet radio station and studio site where you'll be able to catch some really, really good things. And there's a brand new archive on that site that I really would love you to go to, and this is fantastic. And if you go to www.1020radio.net and go to the audio archive site, you'll be able to see my recipe box. And there you'll find, I think right now there's about 12 to 15 brand new recipes up there, all audio recipes, and there's an ability there to click on something and to write me, and I'll be able to send you copies of any of those as well. So please don't hesitate to do that. You can also write me at 1020radio@gmail.com. That's 1020 numbers, radio, same word, at gmail.com. So I've given you lots of different ways to get in touch with me. I hope that you do. I didn't even tell anybody today that they can call in. If somebody wanted to call right now, we have 4 minutes left. 323-580-5779. 323-580-5779. And I'd be able to say a quick hello to you and maybe answer a quick question. If not, there's always next week, because I'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific at 12 noon Eastern time to do another half-hour segment of Foodomania. I'm working on expanding this show, and if everything goes according to plan, I'll probably be going to an hour, because a lot of people say it just goes by too quick. I think it's a comfortable amount of time, but I don't really usually have enough time for people calling in, and I do get some really good questions. Also, usually have a chat window open during the show, so in real time, people can do that. And I'm also on Facebook, so you can also go to my Facebook site and be on. If you're doing social media and you're online listening, you can write, you can talk, you can throw out your ideas. In 2 weeks, we'll have the best of, and that's going to be the best of Foodomania, meaning recipes and ideas that people have called in and talked about, and I'll be playing those phone chats with you. If you so desire to do that, you still can call at that specific number and give me a call or send me a voicemail or send me an email, and I would be contacting you to set up our phone conversation for a future Foodomania show. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. It's been really, really fun. I'm looking forward to the next show. And that'll be next week. We'll be talking about some special stuff, specifically what's starting to come up in the garden. We'll be talking a vegetarian meal next week. It'll be the vegetarian feast and everything that's all about vegetables, including some really, really delicious soups and things that you really want to try out. Some fruit soups. We'll be making gazpacho, and we'll be talking about, like, what to do with this beautiful weather and how to cool off and how to keep eating really well. I want to thank you all for being here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Chef Stuardo for Foodomania saying, until next time, take it easy. Watch out for the little ones. Bye-bye. Anytime at all.